Welcome back to another episode of the Seller Talk. This is your host, Nofel, and today we have a very special guest joining us. I'm thrilled to introduce Sam, a talented musician who has agreed to join us to share his journey. Sam and my wife, Christina, met while working at Midstar Health, though in different divisions. Recently, Sam made a big move, and you have been focusing on like a different path, a career path, and especially on your music career. And today, we'll dive into your musical inspirations, life changes, and personal stories. So let's get into it. Let's get started, and welcome Sam to the Seller Talk.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for agreeing and coming. I'm so happy. So I want to start the podcast by just saying thank you for inviting us last time in Memorial Day weekend. We spent it with your family. We got to spend it with Bill.
Oh, yep.
He was hilarious.
Oh my God, he's a kick.
He is an awesome person. First, like, he looked at me and was like, I don't like this guy. But you can tell that he was joking.
He's very facetious sometimes. But
that he's got that joke.
Yep.
Like, he can make you laugh and on a bad day.
Oh, absolutely.
He's got that. I would like to have him one day.
Absolutely.
We can just chat with him.
Let go at it, right?
Oh my God.
It was fun. Thank you for coming. It was a blast.
Oh, it was my pleasure. So thank you again. So I want to talk to you. I want you to introduce yourself first. Okay. Who are you, Sam?
So my name's Sam. Last name's Carl. I go by Sam I Am, though. All my fans know me as. That's kind of just stuck for my music, little stage name, I guess you could say. Like he said, I was working at MedStar prior to this, and that's how we connected through his wife, Christina. I've been kind of all over the place. Life's been a wild journey for me.
Mm-hmm.
Since we're, you know, to get back to the music thing eventually, I could never sing a lick at all. Like, I was like tone deaf. Like, it was terrible.
Why is that?
I just wasn't a gift that opened up yet, I guess. I don't know.
Okay.
I went, I've always been into music though.
Okay. What inspired you to start your journey as a musician?
So I would say growing up, honestly, I was able to have the upbringing of, like, we were always listening to country and classic rock, and it wasn't, you know, it wasn't just like here and there. It was all the time music. We used to have, like, you know, records playing, big, huge speakers down in the basement and all, and just music was always blaring, mm-hmm. always all the time. And mm-hmm. went to a lot of weddings. Some of my aunts have gotten married a couple times, and so I've went to uh-huh. a lot of weddings. And
okay,
you know, it's you know, was always a thing. Always had to have a good music. Everybody was always up dancing. Like,
okay.
from I was a little kid, mm-hmm. I was always, you know, dancing, singing along, just taking interest in everything. And actually, never really played any instruments till later. I had a harmonica when I was little, and okay. I, you know, they said that I played it good when I was a kid, but mm-hmm. you know, I messed with it, you know what I mean? That's how things start. And I really didn't get into like learning any instruments besides I knew I love music, right?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Listen to it all the time. Always had to have my subwoofer in whatever vehicle I had, have it blaring whatever yeah. music I loved.
Yeah.
And you know,
it feels like you function through music, like you like to have it around you. And
I can't not
did you have music. Any inspirations growing up? Like, what if you can share with us your biggest influence or mentors in music?
Yeah, so I mean, there's so many. I know that's like a typical answer, but like, since I listen to so many different kinds of music, mm-hmm. like, I know country is my core and classic rock, of course. But I mean, if I like it, I'll listen to it. And so it's not like just like, oh yeah, this is my guy, this is my genre, that's it. I have a broad, you know, aspect with music for me. You know, I've listened to like even some rap songs. Like, uh-huh. You don't hear me rapping.
Yeah.
But I'll listen to some pop. So back to the question about, you know, who's inspired me. You know, growing up, we listened to a lot of Elvis. They always call me little mini Elvis on the dance floor because I tried
really?
To be doing the little stanky leg thing. And, you know, my dad always danced like that. And
okay.
So I, you know, always had the dance moves and trying to do that. And Elvis, you know, his music inspired me because he always was dancing, always singing. He loved it, you know.
He's a legend, man.
Absolutely. I mean, people in other countries, you know, they get the reference. They know who Elvis yeah. is, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, that says a lot, you know, considering he never even got to really travel internationally.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I know he did that international thing, like broadcast wherever it was.
Right,
in the 70s or something. I can't
yeah.
remember. But
Yeah, did you watch his movie?
Oh my God,
on HBO.
Yeah,
or Max.
I watched the one with what's his name, Austin Butler. I think.
Yeah,
yeah, that was a spectacular movie. One, yeah. Oh my God, absolutely.
I didn't know his story. I'm gonna be honest with you. I didn't know that his story was actually that sad. Because
yeah,
Colonel, what's his name?
The colonel. Take half of his stuff. I mean, that's terrible.
Of course, and the merchandise and everything. But he was the one behind him not going overseas.
Right, exactly.
He scared him.
They kept him there.
Yeah.
And that little casino. Yeah. I guess I wasn't little, but I'm just saying, like, he had so much he could do.
Yeah.
And they kept him there. And, you know, I feel like that really, you know, between his mom dying and then that, I feel like that really kind of was his like downfall, you know,
the king.
And then he of course got divorced and all. It's like his life just fell apart, man.
Yeah
it was sad. But I mean, despite that though, I feel like, you know, he just was such an inspiration with music and dancing and just finding the love for it and all. And I just always grew up listening to that, and it just inspired. I actually do a couple Elvis songs because I like it so much. So you know, I mean, Elvis is definitely a big one. I would say Kenny Chesney, he came out the year I was born, actually.
Okay.
He's been touring for 30 years. That's all I'm going to say.
Wow.
That says a lot, though. I mean, that says a lot that, you know,
yeah.
This guy is selling out stadiums. My cousin actually just went there to his concert the other night to see Kenny. And you see the pictures, and it's just booked. Like, there's almost like no holes. So that shows a lot of what you can do with your career. Like, there's a lot of really great country singers from the 90s, but Kenny is the man. He sells it out every time.
I love country.
Yeah.
I love country, and I will never get people that don't listen to country enough. And I have a little joke about it. I do think that country and hip hop share something.
Yeah.
They talk about booze and girls.
Yep. 100%.
In different words.
Oh, 100%.
They use different words. The hip hop, they use bitches.
Yep. It's a little bit more vulgar. I've noticed the country's got a little bit wild with stuff lately, but it's definitely a similarity for sure. Something we all can relate to. Similar. We all like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, and they even get the sentimental side of it. You know, they talk about, you know what I mean, with family and, you know what I mean, their dog. And all that says typical, and everybody's like, but I don't know why people give it so much crap, but you see so many people talk about they love their animals, this, that, and all. And I mean, it's something. If you like it, why not put it down and write and sing a song about it? That's how good songs are made.
True.
Doesn't matter how many times it's done. You know what I mean? Because your experience with whatever you've been through with your people or your whatever interest in your life is going to be different from mine. You know, similar, but different. It's your own. It's unique. You're your own person, just like I am. You know what I mean?
Right. So. Right. Have you been to to a performance that was super memorable?
Oh my God! I've got a couple. Kenny was. The one of the first, no, it was the second one. I went to a couple of Kenny concerts. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But I got these front row tickets, and it was the sand pit, they called it. And it was just like I was living a dream. Like, the beach balls were out, the girls were everywhere, we were drinking beer. Kenny is there. I could see the sweat pouring off on him. It's like, oh my God.
You were topless.
Exactly. No comment. No, but like, it was just a blast. I mean, like, you couldn't ask for a better time. I mean, it was almost like a festival. It was so long. He has so many people opening up for him. Mm. And by the time you get to him, it's like you still haven't lost that energy. You still were just pumped. And he, you know, just put on a hell of a show, you know what I mean? And
I can only,
you know,
imagine.
I just would be thinking to myself, like, here I would, you know, just be listening, like, in high school, just cruising down the road, windows down, and listening to Kenny Chesney music and stuff, and here I am experiencing these music videos, like, all around me. I mean, the beach ball sticks out to me because it's like, it's typical, you know. He's an island boy, he's a country boy though.
Okay.
Nice.
Okay,
blend. And it just was, it was a good experience. But so
he's got some fusion there. Like, he's not just like 100% country, but he's bringing some little spice into it. Like, it's not.
He always makes it new too. Like, so you still know it's Kenny, but he always makes it up to where it's not like, all right, we're bored of Kenny. You know what I mean? He likes to keep it interesting. He has so much energy. He puts so much energy into this, and that's what's like different from like a lot of artists. I just feel like he's not like just doing it to make a buck. I mean, he loves what he does, and you can tell.
Yeah.
And that's why everybody loves them, I feel. You know what I mean?
And when you have a lot of energy on stage, the fans will just follow.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Everyone will go crazy.
And another inspiration I have is, like I said, I got a few of them.
Uh-huh.
Cody Johnson, because you're speaking of memorable concerts and stuff that I've been to, and his was, my God, one of the most memorable I think I've ever been to. I got the opportunity, thanks, shout out to my friends at 103.7 WXUY. They got me in some tickets to meet him. And he wasn't just, you know, I've had the opportunity to meet a lot of different country artists this now, which I'm very appreciative for, but, you know, meeting an idol, you know, like somebody like Kenny, or obviously Elvis, we can't meet, but, you know, Cody Johnson, to be able to meet him, you know, it was just like...
You just sat down with him and chatted.
I was fortunate, I was like the last in line out of like, I don't know, 45, 50 people, and I got to talk to him, and he has a lot of songs that really resonate with me and things that I've been through.
Which one is your favorite?
Till You Can't, probably. Okay. Now, that song, me and my... I got a good buddy of mine in the Marines. His name's Joe. And we always like jam out to the song. Like, that's our song because we both have been through so much stuff. Hmm. And that song is just inspiring. All the lyrics to it, the way it builds. And you can just tell he put his all into writing a song like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because you're not guaranteed tomorrow. And if anybody knows that song, like, it just nails on the head. Like, you know, life's too short, you know? And it just is inspiring. It inspired me to, like, chase my dream of music and try to make something happen out of this, because here he is, he went against the grain and he's one of the biggest country stars out there. I mean, he's just amazing, phenomenal guy. Like I said, I met him and he signed an autograph for me and my friend who was going through a rough time right now, and I was going through a rough time too as well. Not to get too dark and all, but like, this is one of the reasons why I like Cody Johnson too. Having this opportunity to meet him, unfortunately, I found out around a week before I met him that a friend of mine had passed, took his own life, and I've been in those dark spots, and that's actually, I'll go back to this, but that's some of the stuff that made me who I am, and I found my voice with music, the stuff I've been through.
That is a part of your inspiration too. Like, it's those tough times and those challenging times, and I feel like it is a challenge. Although I do believe that this is the best time you can live. Look at us. We're sitting here, absolutely, headphones on, and talking on the microphone. This is exactly what comfort is. At the same time, it is super challenging for us that are on our 30s, 40s.
Right.
It's super challenging. You can't do many things, and I think we talked about that.
Exactly.
So you find your inspiration from those challenging moments. I do have a question for you.
Sure.
Have you ever written anything about it?
Yes. Okay. So... to bring it around, I'm going to get back to that. So I asked Cody Johnson, I said, I didn't want to, make it, he's got a contract due, so I wasn't trying to, be weird about it, but I was really going through a hard time dealing with that, because I've been there, and I'm still here. I got my second chance, and my friend didn't, and he's not here with me, and I can never get that back. I knew the kid since he was, like, 6 or 7 years old, so it impacted me a lot, and we even reconnected later in life, and he just kind of dropped off. I never thought to ask, why, like, what happened? So I told Cody Johnson, this, what I'm going through, and I said, it would mean a lot to me if you could, shout that song, Till You Can't, out to him. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Because I said, I just want people to know.
I got goosebumps now. Okay.
Yeah. And he said, his other guy that was there with him, he said, hey, remind me when we get this part in the set list to, shout this out.
Wow.
And we get to the song. It gives me chills. He's, giving a good speech in the beginning and all. And he sings a song. I'm like, maybe he'll shout it out afterwards. Maybe he forgot. Nothing ever happened. I was like, all right, well, this still was a good concert, and, he probably just forgot, whatever. Well, my little cousin was also at that concert, and it was, like, in Baltimore. It's like, an hour away from me, and I'm like, I don't want to beat the traffic. I still want to enjoy the moment, but I'm like, I don't want to sit in this traffic. It sounds terrible. The song, everything was over. He sang all the songs. This was the last one. I think there was another one after that, but, this was the one I really wanted to hear. And we left. As I'm in the parking garage, my cousin...
You hear it.
My cousin texted me. He said, Sam, he just shouted your friend's name out the past. I said, what? And I'd missed it. So I'm like, I'm feeling all tore up inside. Like, he did it, and I missed it. And a week later, I find on YouTube, I was searching just, like, viciously, trying to find some video of the song. Somebody had to take this,
Yeah.
So it was right after the song had finished, apparently, he said, before he came out to do his encore, he said, I just want to tell everybody, I messed up tonight. And he like said that, like, in front of 14,000 people. He's like, I messed up. I was supposed to dedicate this song to a young man named Aaron here tonight. So he worded it wrong, which was okay. It's just the fact that, like, he remembered my friend's name, and he said that he was supposed to dedicate this song, because obviously my friend had passed, right? But he shouted his name out still in front of all those people for me, on top of, signing autographs, getting a picture of me and talking to me. he did that. I mean, that's just the kind of person he is. I mean, inspiration. And that's why, like, his music isn't just a song just for people to, like, you know, like, eat up on the top 100s. You know what I mean? Like, he ain't doing it for that. He's doing it because he's been through stuff. And that resonates with people like me.
Yeah.
And that's just, that's why he's one of my biggest inspirations. Cody Johnson's just, I mean, who does that?
I always believe that, like, if you're a really good artist, is when you're really singing with your heart and people can feel it, not just hear it.
Exactly.
Because you do have to feel the song. There are some very powerful lyrics, and you do, if you don't feel it, and if you don't get, you know, like, and that's where performance actually just shows up.
Exactly. And I feel like that's what a lot of people miss, especially, like, locally, like, you know, starting out and trying to, you know, feel your crowd out, this and that and all. The same thing, you know, I guess you have to a degree, feel that out. Cause, you know, I do have a broad, you know, music selection I you know, can pick from as far as, you know, covers, whatnot.
Right.
That being said, I feel like if I'm not into the song or know it like that, and I just do it just because somebody wants me to sing it, it's not going to be delivered good.
Yeah.
It's not going to, if it's not me, you know what I mean?
True.
And I feel like that's kind of important with, like, you know, singing stuff, you know what I mean? I sing songs that I enjoy, that I like, that I feel like resonate with me and resonate with other people, hopefully. So, I mean, you know, that's kind of like what, you know, all the things I've been through in my life, like, inspire me. If I like a song, I'm going to play it. And coming back around to your question about writing something, I actually did start writing a song to get my pain out, because I was tore up. Not going to lie. I drank like a fish. Like, I drank like a fish for like 2 days straight. Luckily, it was the weekend. That would have been interesting if not.
I'm sure that whoever worked with you on that Monday, they will remember.
Oh, yeah. It was rough. It was rough. But, like, I knew that I couldn't, like, keep that lifestyle that up. You know, you gotta process things. It helped me process at the time. You know what I mean? I dealt with things. I prayed, I drank, I, you know, cried, I was angry, I punched the punching bag as hard as I could, injured my hand probably a little too much. I should have, you know, I should have wore gloves. But you do things in those moments, you're just like, how do you even begin to process something like that that's out of your hands? And there's no closure. There's no closure. So I started writing a song, and, you know, it was just a start, and it was, you know, it got it out of my system. I felt like, you know, this is right. You know what I mean? I needed write a song for my friend that passed. And I actually just finished it last week.
Nice.
So it took me some months to do it. Some songs I write just like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then some songs I write most of it. 2 years later, I finish it. Sometimes I write the beginning of it, and then it takes a few months to finish it. It just depends. I don't want to rush something that's, you know, like I said, it goes back to the songs that you can tell that are more meaningful versus the songs that are just, we're throwing a fun, catchy song out there for everybody to listen to.
Yeah.
And it might not mean as much. So this, you know, something, it gave me as much closure as I'm going to get. Yeah. And it felt so good to finish that song. And I'm hoping, you know, I'm trying to find some, you know, areas to do some recording and hopefully eventually record this song. I don't know if it's going to be this year or next year, but it's going to be soon. It's not going to be years from now. I'm not putting it off. I finished this song, and I want to put it out there for him. And you know, hopefully it can help other people heal and touch. You know what I mean? Because, you know, it's a hard thing to go through. And so to be able to get that out in my music, that is a gift and a blessing I have.
Yeah.
That, you know, a lot of people don't have that. But what they do have is a lot of people have ears they can listen to.
Yeah.
And they can hear the song, and hopefully it can resonate with them. Just like Till You Can't resonates with me. Cody Johnson touched me. I'm hoping I can touch people one day.
That's what
it's about for me.
And that's what inspires you.
Exactly.
Good.
Because you know, like I said, you know, I've been through a lot of stuff in my life. That was just one of them that inspired me to play music, not just, you know, I put it aside for a while.
Yeah.
And I picked it back up, and it you know.
Yeah.
It and just means a lot.
One of the things that why I started actually trying to do this and starting a podcast is I'm able now to sit down with you. First of all, I'm socializing.
Right.
Second, I don't have to use my phone.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm here sitting with you. If I use my phone, it's going to be rude. And
exactly.
I have nothing to do other than just listening to you and sharing this moment with someone else. And I think that this is what we're lacking now.
Right.
And like through music, you're able to actually gather people.
Exactly.
Gathering, that's socializing again.
Right. And so, I feel like we lost the social skills with all the social media and all. And I actually deleted
how social is this media?
It's terrible. And honestly, it's like people feel awkward when you act social. And it's terrible because I'm like, I'm a very social person. And that blows my mind that, you know, it's like, all right, well, you know, that's why I don't even really date much anymore, because it's just so bizarre out there, one. And two, you can say one thing and it'd be taken another way just right. because it's not subtle enough. Like,
yeah.
it's, I don't like playing games. I'm going to be myself around you here,
yeah.
around my family, around my coworkers. Doesn't matter. You know what I mean?
And this one, you're singing. Yeah. You're in that zone where people can listen to you
exactly.
and stop everything they're doing.
Exactly.
And that's what, like, sometimes we're missing. Like, social media. What? How social is that?
It's terrible. I don't even get on that much anymore. Honestly, no, I deleted social. My personals. My personals are gone.
Yeah.
The only social media I have is all public. It's all music. For my music. And right. this is me. And that's yeah. how I want it, because I don't want to be getting distracted by all these other things. I'm not saying I won't follow things when they're, you know, that interest me.
Yeah.
You know, that, you know, I'll look every now and then. But, like I don't even post. I try to get more active with posting, because I know you have to with the world it is, as far as music and all, and trying to make something happen to yourself. But otherwise, I don't want to be, like, indulged into the point where it's like I'm not having moments like this, or like yeah. at the cookout we had. Like, it's, I mean, you didn't see me on my phone at that cookout. Nothing yeah. that's wrong with checking it here and there. And, you know, right. all right, I'm going to show somebody a video that you're socializing. You're showing a video and you're laughing together or something. That's one thing. But when you're just, like,
scrolling
on your phone, yeah. you're not talking to people at cookout, it's like, nah, that's no fun. I mean, like, I'll bounce around, I'm grilling, then I start singing, then I'm talking. It's like, it's fun. People, I feel like, have lost that energy, that those social skills are just diminishing.
Yeah.
And I think that's just so sad, because, I mean, I was homeschooled, and I have social skills. And, you know, there's the stereotypical, like I was talking about earlier to you briefly before we got on this podcast, that, you know, that's important, I feel like, in life, to be social. And you know what I mean? If I can do it.
And you, yeah.
Yeah, you know, you would
think. You can bring some more people to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I mean?
And so, you can inspire the next person.
Exactly. And, you know, and that's what music has done for me a lot. And I somehow, some way, I always talk about music. It seems like every day, every week, whatever it may be. Like,
oh, you do it really good, man. You do a really good job.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Because it didn't happen overnight. Like I said, I went through stuff. I mean, I've always, like I said, I got a late start with, as far as technically getting involved with music, high enough.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you that. Yeah. When did it all start?
I was 14. besides just my love for music, right? I was 14 when I kind of went that direction, and I was going to high school, had to take an instrument, right? And I got signed up for piano classes. My sister did it, I did it. My little brother actually ended up doing it too. He's actually pretty good. And, you know, I played the piano, you know, well, but I didn't have the interest in piano to, like, keep going. You know what I mean? Like, it's like I just kept hearing the other room the guitar. There was a guitar lessons in the other room. Like, I want to play guitar. Like, I don't want to play piano. And now that I'm older, I do appreciate piano. I love playing piano. I love all instruments. I mean, so I started at 14 years old and playing piano. 15, went to guitar. Within a year, I was playing solos, the same as people had been doing it for a decade that I knew. I was doing crazy solos, like, you know, Led Zeppelin, Whitesnake, I mean, I don't know, everything you could think of from the classic rock, I was obsessed with. And I would learn it like that in an instant. It just clicked with me. And music came naturally. You know what I mean? It was a gift. And it wasn't like I had to try. I just did it. And I didn't know what that meant. I just know that I had fun and I did it. You know what I mean? And I mean, I would just try to, you know, be well-rounded as I could be with everything. Like, obviously, guitar is my main thing. It's always been my main thing. But I mean, I learned, like, the mandolin, yeah. the instrument.
How many instruments do you play?
Oh, God. Whatever I can get a hold of. Like, for instance, I was gonna say about the mandolin.
I got a ukulele here.
I learned that, too. It's been a while, but I play the ukulele, and I've taught myself all these. Besides the initial piano and then the guitar, like, I taught myself how to play the other things. Like, I learned the mandolin in half of a day. I learned four songs after I learned how to play the instrument. And then after learning those four songs, I played those four songs at praise and worship for my church that I was at the time.
Okay.
All one day, learning an instrument and then learning songs and then playing with people on top of that.
And you were 14.
No, that was 5 years ago, I guess.
Okay.
But 14 is when I started with everything. But okay. About 5 years ago that yes. I was, you know, taught myself the mandolin and did that, and it just kind of like just comes naturally. You know, I play a little bit of drums, bass guitar, ukulele, a little banjo. If I can get my hands a hold of it, I'll play it. You know what I mean?
So anything, anything you can actually, you can,
yeah,
anything.
I put my
banjo,
mind to it.
I love banjo. I love to listen to it.
Yeah. And if I could afford it all, I'd buy every single
instrument. I think it's coming back, man.
Like, yeah.
It was missed for a long time, and then country brought it back.
Oh yeah, no, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, God, there's so many good instruments. It's just like, I don't want to just subject myself to one. If I have the talent for it and the, you know, inspiration to kind of, you know, do these things, I'm going to do it, because music is beautiful. I mean, all kinds of instruments. Right. I mean, I love it all, honestly. It's just, but again, guitar is my main thing, and I sing now, which I'm sure you're gonna ask me about that. So yeah. Singing,
yeah,
like I said, I was tone deaf before.
Okay,
like I might be exaggerating a little bit, but I just feel like people used to give me a hard time on my Snapchat story, be like, Sam, you have like 10 minutes of you singing. You sound horrible. Stop. Like, it was just nonstop. I couldn't help it. I had like a Snapchat illness. I don't know. I just kept posting me singing in the car all the time.
Yeah.
Because I like the music so much.
Well, it takes 10,000 hours to become to master something.
Exactly.
So it takes practice to become a great singer.
It does. And I was, when I was younger, I went through some things that I'd say about 5 years ago, I went through a dark time in my life. And that's how I really started to pick up the music again. Mm-hmm. Like, not that I ever lost it, but like, that's where I found my gift was singing, my voice. I found my voice 5 years ago, almost 4 or 5 years ago, whatever it was. Went through some stuff and that spiraled me into depression and an anxiety. And I didn't really believe in that stuff as much. Like, I knew it existed, but I just was, my mindset was like, you know, I never had a problem with that. I was always happy-go-lucky, you know, never.
That does not exist.
Yeah, I got my car towed before, and I was like, whatever. I went to McDonald's. Eight, we got picked up. I was like, whatever, I'll find it. Like, I can have a care less in the world. I didn't care about stuff like that. And I didn't let anything bring me down. And, you know, now I was younger too, you know, and you go through things in life that kind of you realize life isn't always hunky dory, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
As much as you'd love it to be. And, you know, so I dealt with this, something that I, you know, a lot of people have dealt with, but I also was dealing with something I didn't think was real, which makes it harder.
When you're
in denial.
How am I going to deal with it?
Yeah, it's like, how do you? And I didn't know how to. I was a wreck. I lost my job. I lost everything. I feel like I lost everything. I feel like I was losing friends because I wasn't doing the same things they were doing and whatnot. Through that and being home, like curled up in a ball, I was always going to the hospital because I thought I was dying for something because it was anxiety. I didn't know anxiety could get that bad.
Because it does not exist.
Right, it doesn't exist.
It's like, just made
it's
up.
Just thing, a, I thought right? it was just in your head. I'm like, well, you know what? It is in your head. No. But unfortunately, it's out of your control.
Absolutely.
And you have to learn to cope with it. And I've fortunately been able to do that through music. That's when I found my voice. It just started with just me dealing with those feelings that I never have dealt with before. And I would just sing like I normally would. But I picked songs that helped heal. And, you know, one of them was Blessed Broken Road. And that song means a lot to me because I feel like I've always been on this journey. And I've been through some relationships that, you know, were toxic. And just things that have crushed my spirit as far as that. And I feel like, you know, it's like I'm on a broken road. Like I've never been able to relate with, you know, girls in a sense to where like, you know, nobody appreciates my my personality, I feel like, these days, because everybody's just so, I don't know, like shallow and surface level. It's like they don't like to get deep. They don't like be, I come on too strong. That's not all. I'm like, I'd rather you know me up front than 6 months later and lie to you, you know, find out like, oh yeah, he's a cheater, or, you know, he does this, or, you know, he's you know, whatever, you pick your poison. You know what I mean?
What do you really want? Do you want someone that takes you to forgot a shower and spend like $200 on a little meal, or you want someone that will take care of you?
Exactly. And that's the thing is like, you know,
and take it before the shower.
Exactly. And you know, the thing is like, you know, we've all been on different journeys, and I feel like that song and a lot of other songs I started singing helped bring out my voice because my, you know, I was hurting, you know what I mean, in my head and in my heart. Like my soul was just like, I just broken. It was broken. I was broken, and I was pouring out what I had into my music, and because of that, I feel like, you know, I've always had the music talent, but to have that voice is really inspiring and really is significant, because you can play, you know, I mean, there's different levels of, you know, playing instruments. Some can do it really good, but let's say you have two guys that do it really good. It sounds the same because you're playing an instrument, but everybody's voice is different and unique because that's how we're made. We're different people. And to be able to have that, I feel like, you know, I mean, I just feel blessed, you know what I mean? Because like that was not something that would have ever happened if it wasn't through the crap that I went through. And I didn't like it at the time. I never saw it. It just, and even, you know, years later I dated somebody and I got crushed from that. You know what I mean? Like it was, I thought that she was the one, and it didn't happen. It wasn't the right, thing for me. And
was it easy to move on after that?
That was not easy. I dealt with that one really hard. That was, I actually started writing a song about her. I haven't finished that one yet, but I started writing a song to get my emotions out. Again, I do this. It's like this repeat thing I do.
It helps. It helps heal. Voice it out. It always helps you, man.
And that makes a good song.
Like, I think, I'm sure that now that you're talking about all of this, you did not even realize how much actually you're blessed with whatever you have.
Yeah.
And just voicing that out and getting it out of your system.
Yeah.
It helps so much. And that's why actually when you have depression or anxiety,
right,
it's always great to voice it, to name it, and to talk about it.
Oh, absolutely.
That's the only way you can actually just make people actually understand how you react and why you react that way.
Right. I'm an advocate for talking about things. I mean, the thing is like, you know, I'm not going to great detail with every single thing because I've been through a lot of things. So right. I'm not trying to make this scene dark and all. But like, all you need to know is, you know, I've been through some serious stuff that like inspired me. And that's not something just like, oh, you know, it's not something lightly, you know what I mean? Taken lightly. Like that stuff made me who I am. And I feel like people don't want to talk about these things. Like I'm all about talking. I've actually like prayed with patients before and all, and I feel like I am by no means any poster child for, you know, being, you know,
yeah,
you know, yeah, the perfect Christian, this, that, and whatnot. Like I am not. Like I am just trying. I am trying to figure it out. Just like life. Like I love making references. Life's a dance. That's a song by John Michael Montgomery. And it's a life's a dance. You learn as you go. Sometimes you lead, sometimes you follow. You just don't know. You know what I mean? And I feel like we're all in this journey.
Wow.
And you just kind of have to take it for what it is. And actually got my, well, you can see right here, my first and only tattoo. Yeah.
Enjoy every moment for what it's worth.
Absolutely.
That's true.
You know, yeah. And it's because you just, you never know. Tomorrow, you know, yeah, you'd be gone. You
there's
know
a, mean? There's a great book about that too. It is called The Power of Now.
Okay.
If you, just, I would like you to read it. If I have it now, I'll actually hand it to you.
Yeah,
absolutely. It talks about like how amazing to pay attention to what's surrounding you. I'm just emphasizing, like, he's yeah, not really saying those words because he, of course, used better words than me. Again,
right.
I did not speak any English before that. My vocabulary
right,
is very
right,
limited. But it really makes you understand why now and around you, what's around you, is matters more than anything that you don't have or you don't didn't get yet.
Exactly.
So, and that's like, again, that's what anxiety is, that's what depression yep, is, because I could have done it different, I could have said this, I could have responded this way,
right?
And that's when you start regretting and all that.
Yep.
So you get into that depressed mode.
Yep.
Or you're like, I don't know what I'm doing, man.
Exactly.
I don't know where I'm heading. So, and that's what anxiety is.
Yep. It can make or break you, you know, sometimes.
Yeah. But when you're asking yourself those questions, you forget where you are at that moment.
Yep.
You're with your family, where you're in a beautiful farm. You have a great work and you're in your office. You have, you're sitting down with a friend. And sometimes we just get caught up in those moments.
It overwhelms
you. There's no ending. There's yep, no light at the end of the tunnel.
It doesn't seem like it sometimes, but there is.
Oh, yeah.
You
yeah,
know, I mean, like, I'm still going yeah, through stuff right now. I mean, life doesn't ever stop throwing stuff at you.
Yeah. Challenges.
You just got to keep getting back up. You know what I mean?
Right.
And it's so hard sometimes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And having people there and being able to be humble yourself and say, hey, you know what? I can't do something. I need help with, you know, some things. Whether it doesn't matter
right,
what it is. You
right,
know what I mean? Whether you,
yeah,
you can use your imagination. There's all kinds of things we all can need help with. And, you know, taking that step to humble yourself is important. And I've had to do it. And it sucks. You know, guys, we're prideful sometimes. You know
absolutely,
what I mean?
Absolutely. We have our
you know,
bad ego.
You want to do it yourself. You can do your own. And then it's like, and then it comes the definition of insanity. My dad likes to say that. You know,
right,
he always says it's, you know, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. You know what I mean? Sometimes you got to, you know, change it up.
Change it up.
Yep.
Just and move forward, and then remember where you are and who you are with.
Exactly.
And love the people that are next to you and the name for better, of course. And that's what like the ambition comes from.
Exactly.
And that's what, so here is my question: what motivates sure, you in life?
As much as I don't like it, I never ever liked it. Who does? But the hard
girls.
Oh, no. Yeah. Right. Exactly. That's like one of those things. You can't live with them. Can't live without them. God. It's like God's little joke to us. It's like, yeah, let's suck it up.
Deal so with it. So what motivates you?
I mean, the hard shit, the bad shit.
Mm.
I mean,
challenges.
I don't see it at the time. I'm going to be honest with you.
Mm.
Like, I'm not going to tell you, yeah, that shit, I eat that shit up. Like, I'm not going to lie to you. I fucking hate that shit. It's terrible. It tears me down. It makes me feel weak.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm.
And, you know, and that's why I feel like it's important to talk about things. Like I go to therapy. I think it's healthy, even if you have no need for therapy. It's good to go to therapy. That way you don't get to the point to where you have to feel like your life is caving in on you.
I totally agree with you.
I mean, people totally, just don't like to talk about that stuff as much, and I will. I never used to like to, because like I said, I didn't believe in any of this stuff.
Because.
But, you know, it's helped me numerous times, and I've gotten hooked up with a really good one, and she's amazing, and has helped me through a lot of the stuff that I've been going through. And I feel like people say, oh, I don't need that. I get that, but you know, just have an open mind with it. In the worst case scenario, what happens? Well, you don't like it, or you find the one you do like, or you might find that this is for you. You know what I mean? You don't know until you try something like that.
Yeah.
And that's not something that's gonna be bad to try.
Yeah.
It's not there's gonna be negative, you know, impact because of trying therapy. I think it's great. It helps you through a lot of stuff.
And I advise it to everyone. I think it's very important.
Exactly.
I go to therapy too. Yep. I think it's very important. And I think you can find the answers to certain things in certain situations that you're at and you're like, you really feel alone.
Because the thing is if you have a good one, again, I know I've had some ones that are just not meshing.
Connection with your therapist.
Yeah, you have to. That's important. It's a relationship. And people think, oh, it's just therapy doesn't work for you. No. I've had some bad therapists that I didn't like. We didn't vibe, whether they just sucked or we just didn't vibe. That's the reality. You have to find the one that works for you. And you can't give up on that, something like that. And, you know, because you can have, I mean, I have some good friends in my life. You know what I mean? I feel like everybody's very busy right now. I'm in a weird, you know, I'm turning 30 this year. I'm in a weird position where everybody I know has their girlfriends, is married, they have their kids, this and that and all, and nobody has the time to really hang out with me like they used to. And it's stressful and it's hard because I'm not also at the same breath. I don't just go out and I can go out and meet people and all, but I don't like going out to bars and stuff like that. Like I'll go to breweries or wineries and this and that and all,
mm-hmm.
and obviously do my music thing. But it's like I'm not in the point where it's like I can just let that little, I should say, lifestyle, like, since I'm single right now, I don't live that lifestyle. Like my mind is like, I'm focused on me, my career, and I would like to, you know, meet somebody that I can trust with myself and that's going to bring me up and not tear me down one day, as far as a girl relationship wise. And, you know, just having that and having the, you know, patience for that is so, you know, rough sometimes. But, you know, like I said, my friends, you know, friends, you know, and family are, you know, important. It's good to have a foundation and people you can like count on and whatnot. But everybody, as much as, you know, they don't want to be, everybody has opinions.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they're helpful. And sometimes, though, and that's why I'm an advocate for therapy, it's good to have somebody that's listening to you that doesn't have an opinion.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And even if they want to offer like advice, if you ask for it, then they have these options. They'll give you certain solutions. They're not going to say this is the only way. They're going to say you can do this, this, or that.
Hmm.
And you could, you pick. It's your life.
Mm-hmm.
Versus like some people are going to push like, no, you need to do this.
Because they love you.
They love you and they mean well, but it's like that might not work for you. What works for them might not work for you.
Absolutely.
And you know, so that's why I'm an advocate of that. It's really helped a lot, you know, on top of the music.
And also, I will say that, and my belief is that when you know the person that you're talking to and you're actually just venting to them and they give you their perspective, sometimes we get really angry with them. Why? Because we love them.
Right.
And we're like, I'm not actually venting because I want you to find a solution to me.
Right, right.
I just want to talk. I want to get it out of my chest.
So, yeah, sometimes you're not asking for a solution or an answer or advice or an opinion. You just
know how to deal with that.
You just want to vent. And that's what, like, it's stressful sometimes because people don't get that. They're like, okay, just let me, complain right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah. They love you too, so they want to help.
Exactly.
They're like, I can't really just look at you and you're going down this way.
Exactly.
And I'm just going to let you do it. I want to help you. I want to be there for you.
Exactly.
That's my way. I'm going to advise you. Sometimes we find it annoying, but we get angry, and afterwards, I usually just like think about it twice.
Right, right.
And I usually, most of the time, I'll just go back to the person that was talking to me, and I'm like, I am so sorry.
Right, right.
I was annoyed for no reason, but at that moment,
I get that completely.
I was in the gray. I did not see any.
When you're in that moment, that's, I mean,
yeah,
it's. I get that 100%.
Yeah. Yep. Tough times.
Absolutely.
So music motivates you as well?
Yeah, music motivates me, the bad, you know, the bad times, because honestly the songs I've written, they're not all finished, but like I told you, my friend's song I wrote, I mean, it's something special about that. And I never I'm gonna segue, well, not really segue, but I'm gonna kind of elaborate a little bit on this.
Okay,
so
can I just stop you there?
Yeah,
can we pause? I'm thirsty.
Absolutely, let's grab all a drink.
Okay, we're back.
All right.
Go ahead, sir.
So, as I was saying, what I was going to elaborate on with what motivates me, you know, there's all kinds of aspects when it comes to, you know, music and stuff like that. And, you know, there's good times, bad times. I've written some good songs about good times.
Uh-huh.
And, good. You know, that's helped a lot. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. But Really, what, you know, because I've been doing this about 4 years now, I guess. And I start with open mic nights, and I, you know, when I was going through what I went through, I was practicing this, that, and all, and I never really sang out. I just was, you know, make some videos, snap, post some videos. And I finally got the balls to go out there and do it at open mic night. And I remember it was, I always get mixed up. There's Slate Farm and Naughty Dog. So I used to work at Slate Farm back in the day. And mm-hmm. Between my jobs,
so insurance? Insurance?
Oh, no, Slate Farm. There's a brewery.
Okay. I heard State Farm.
Oh, no, that's it. Right? Exactly. Nope. But I was there, and they had open mic nights there. But what sticks out to me is Naughty Dogs. That place, it's a trip. A lot of people go there, they do their volleyball, and they get really tore up and drunk.
Good.
But like it was it, kind of for place. Me, when I, like, you know, first started out, it was a nice place to do it, you know what I mean? And I went up there after watching a movie with my little cousin. It's like 10 o'clock at night. And I went up and I said, you know, can I sing a song or two? He's like, yeah, absolutely, sign up. I went up there and I put Sam I Am, I think, or I don't know if he, like, started calling me that, because the thing is because people would always mess my name up when I'd, like, to get a little background of why I call myself Sam I Am.
Yeah, please.
Because when I was, you know, if I would ever order, like, a pizza or something like that, they'd be like, hear me on the phone, they'd say, Stan, Dan, and I said, no, Sam, like, Sam I Am. Like,
yeah.
You know, the Dr. Seuss, come on now. And it just, I got so frustrated, that's why I would say it. So then when I would, you know, I'm in healthcare, and when I worked at the hospital, everybody would start calling me Sam I Am, because I would call them and tell my patients, yeah, I'm Sam, like, you know, like, Sam I Am. It just was easier.
Oh, wow.
Because I didn't like people messing the name up. It was like a pet peeve of mine. You get it done so many times, I'm like, no, I'm nothing against Stans or Dans, but I am not.
Sam,
the one and only, okay?
Yeah.
And so that's kind of like what kicked it off. And so then when I, you know, whether, you know, I introduced myself like that to him, and then he said that, I don't know if I wrote it down, whatever, but either way, it stuck. I started writing, coming over Mike Knights, and they called me Sam I Am. And I sang a song, and then my first song I sang was Keith Whitley's When You Say Nothing at All. And it was, redone by Alison Krauss in Union Station in the 90s. And I sang that song, and people clapped. And I was like, oh my God, I was expecting.
Was it your first time?
Like, first time ever. Wow. And I was like, nervous. I never sang before. I think I told you I sucked. I didn't know where I stood. I just know I was doing some videos, posted on Instagram randomly.
Mm-hmm.
And they clapped, and I was like, oh my, okay, cool. I was expecting a silence.
Another one.
Like, you know, and they're like, you want to do another one? I was like, sure. And then I started another song, and then the rest is like history. Like, that's where it started. You know what I mean? I got the balls to go up there, sing a song, and people liked it. And, you know, and I was just starting out, so I was new. But considering, you know, teaching myself how to sing, just because of what I went through, the things I went through, and people were just shocked that, like, I could sound that good just starting out with only 6 months experience singing. Like, it was just, like, mind-blowing to them. They're like, you didn't have any lessons. I was like, no, I didn't. And
self-taught.
Huh?
You were self-taught.
Like, yeah.
Self-taught. And so you taught yourself to sing, literally.
Yeah, just like, you know, how I did before with the instruments and all.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I did some lessons at the very beginning, but I didn't really, after that, need it. Like, I taught myself new songs, guitar, taught myself new instruments, etc.
Yeah.
And then when I did this, you know, it inspired me to, like, keep doing it. Like, all right, this is cool. You know, I obviously already like music. Mm-hmm. And, excuse me. And then within 6 months, I got my first gig at Naughty Dogs. That's a lie. Let me take this back. I don't want to disregard this.
Okay.
My first full gig was at Naughty Dogs. I opened up for somebody for, like, I think it was like half an hour. I think it was half an hour, something like that. I opened up for somebody at Double Groove when they first opened up, Double Groove Brewery, and they let me play because I worked at White Tiger at the time, right next there, and we all know everybody, you know, knew each other, and they were like, yeah, you know, we need to do some open mic nights. They had open mic nights there, like, you open up for them, we'll, you know, give you $50, whatever. Here you go, you know what I mean, right?
That's amazing.
And I did it,
and it wasn't people for the money out. For you.
No, it wasn't. I mean, obviously it's $50, but it's like, you know, I wanted to have fun,
yeah.
You know, I just wanted to, you know, it was thrilling, and it was so nerve-wracking at the same time.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I used to, like, get sick in the bathroom for open mic nights when I first started, because I was so nervous. Like, I'm like, oh God, like, you know what I mean? I'm sweating, my ears are red, like, oh, fuck me, I'm going to go up on stage. I don't know if I'm good enough, did I practice enough? You know, overthinking everything. I'm an overthinker, 100%, the worst overthinker you'll ever meet.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
But, you know, I did that and I sang and people liked it. My actually, I think it was my mom. She like live streamed me on her Facebook. They've always been supportive and all. They can't come out to all the ones now because I'm, you know, doing a lot more. But like, you know, they, you know, come out and you know, people commenting, sounding good, blah, blah, blah. And you know, that was fun. And then I did my first full gig at Naughty Dogs like a couple months later, or it was a month later. And you know, I was like, God, 4 hours. I won't do that much anymore. Like I
prefer, 4 hours.
That was a long time, especially wow. starting out. You run out of songs that like, you can repeat them if you want to. And you know, I don't think I ever really did because even though I was nervous when I first started out and I was, you know, new to it and anxious about it, and even though I loved it, it was just still getting acclimated and adjusted to something like that. I mean, that takes a lot of like, you know, nerve to get up in front of people, and especially when you're doing something new and you're not sure like do you sound good enough, are people gonna like you? It's scary, you know.
Yeah.
And
so when you're on stage, how do you handle stress and like and challenges in that moment?
So then, even then, I will say though,
I can't really stand in like in front of an audience.
Right.
I can do a microphone now. I can actually be behind a computer and everything. Right. But standing like in front of like on a stage in front of a lot of people, right. and I have to sing and I have to perform, and the only way I can actually know that I'm doing well is when they get start clapping and,
yeah.
and they sing along and all
and
that.
You so can't repeat it. You can't repeat it. There's no, oh, I'm going to retake the video. Nope. You,
yeah.
That's it.
You're this going. Is
it. You get one shot of it. That's yeah. it. Yep. And like I said, I used to get, you know, nervous and sick, you know. And,
how do you deal with it?
And I feel like that, like, even when I first started out, and I'm about to tell you, like, how I do it now, I do it much better now, of course, because it's been, like, you know, a few years. And, but, you know, the one thing is like, you know, we say, good musicians, you know, if you mess up, you keep going. Because I've seen people, even though like, it's different
like ones, you're gonna bomb, but
they I've seen people just like stop the song, start over the sound. I'm like, this is so awkward socially.
Just keep going,
just fucking go with it, man. And I've done it. I mean, I still mess up. I'm not perfect. There's everybody that's, you know, big stars, they mess up, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's part of it. You're human.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it more organic. You know what I mean? When right. it's like, all right, this isn't just some auto-tune click track, you know, we're right. recording it. Like,
Live
is so much better. It's yeah. so much more organic because I try to take videos of myself and they're not nearly as good if you hear me play out because I overthink it. That's my personality, one. And two, even when I record them, I'm not doing like how we're doing with these microphones. I usually just record it. I used to start recording my stuff in the bathroom because I had a good acoustics.
Yeah, of course.
You know, and that's all I had.
Perfect for that.
Exactly.
Showers. Oh, gosh,
oh my God. Just fantastic.
Best voice you can ever have.
This is like closest singing to well as you're going to get. You know what I mean? But like, you know, so I kind of just went with things, you know, even and as, you know.
I'm taking a shit.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's T-Pain.
even as inexperienced as I was, like, I just went with it and rolled with it. I never started a song over. I just did it.
Yeah.
I played, powered through it. And the more I did it, the better I got at it. Just having confidence myself. And I'll be honest, like, when I was got out of my relationship a few years ago, that it, you know, the more recent one, it was like 3 years ago, I it tore me up and I lost my confidence that I was building, you know. I'd only been doing it 21, I don't know, a year and a half, barely 2 years,
that you've been actually going on stage,
like, and yeah, singing some of that, doing open mic nights and doing an occasional gig here and there. It wasn't like, you know, a lot, but just still getting out there and doing stuff and
yeah.
trying to make things happen, and you know, and it tore me apart. I was torn apart, and I recovered from that, and like I said, I started putting into music a song about the girl, and I moved on, and I didn't let it bring me down like forever. I process those emotions. You know, some people like to shove it down. I process all my emotions, even if it sucks, even if I'm angry or I'm crying, I process that. And, you know, back to like, you know, what I do to kind of like make this happen with music and find my motivation, and how do I deal with these, you know, the nerves and all that, you know what I mean? Like when you go up and perform and everything. I lost my confidence when that happened to me. And it took me a while, but I started getting back and back. And I feel like people also pushed me because they knew that I was going somewhere with it and right. that things were happening. And they just, you know, why put it aside? I started working a second job
yeah.
and I didn't do music much. I just was, you know, I do occasional open mic night here and there. I wasn't doing gigs. All the gigs I got was people asking me.
Because you were afraid of that reaction again.
Well, I just feel like that I lost my motivation
okay.
to do what I love.
Okay.
Because I felt like I was ready to, you know, settle down, get married, and I just feel like that I, instead of coping, I did cope with music, but instead of fully coping and letting myself keep pursuing my dream of music, I put that aside and I picked up a second job and became a little workaholic. I've been known to do that. I work a lot. I like to work. But when you have something like music where, like, you know, money will come eventually, but, like, I'm not worried about that as much. Like, for me, it's about the music. So, but there's an advantage. Like, I can still make extra money on the side doing music.
Right. It's like a second job.
Right. Exactly. But I love it. But now I'm taking it more seriously where I'm pursuing it as a career and trying to balance things out. And that being said, I would say probably... Oh, God, it took a while, but last year, or in 2024, last year, I started getting a little of my confidence back, you know what I mean? Because people kept asking me, like, can you do a private party? You do this, or you know, when are you playing out next? I'm like, I don't know. You know what I mean? It's like, whatever, I'll play up like nice here and there, you can come, or, you know, they want to pay me to come to a private party, sure, I'll do it. It wasn't like I was seeking it out, but I kept having things fall in my lap. I'm like, this is crazy. So... I got the opportunity again. I'm probably gonna shout out a couple times, but my friends at 103.7 WXUY, especially Tim Harley, a buddy of mine, you know, gave me an opportunity to play at the Blue Cash Bash.
And he was at the little party.
You met him. Yes, you met him. Uh-huh. Yeah, good guy. Yeah. And
funny guy though.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
very funny.
Yep. <Yeah. laughs> And I got the opportunity to play at the Wellwood in the Back to Blue Cash Bash for the Police. We sold out like over 160 tickets. And beautiful venue, and just have the opportunity, like, you know, I wasn't looking for anything. It's just the people I knew, the friends I made, and you know, they just like, hey, what do you want to play for this event we're sponsoring? I said, sure. Just got asked. Now, I haven't been doing this for like 20 years, something like that. I haven't been, you know, pursuing this, and here I am getting asked by my friends at a radio station. People would die for something like this.
Absolutely.
And you know, had this option to do, and I was like, sure, yeah, that'd be cool. And I opened up for the Joe Von Neumann Band, and they're great. They're opening up for I think Chris Lane coming up soon. He's a big country star. And I opened up for them. I mean, they're great. Love those guys. we'll jam out sometimes, you know, if I'm out, you know, hearing them play, we'll do a song or something on stage together and all. They're cool guys, very cool guys. And we actually didn't obviously practice. I've never met them before this event. Mm-hmm. And we did Wonderwall. He's like, hey, you want to do one? They were so just welcoming, you know what I mean? Just like, you know, like very like, they weren't, you know, stuck up about anything. They just were like, hey, you want to do a song? I was like, yeah, I know the song. Let's do the song. And we just randomly, they called me up after I got done playing and we did a song together. We actually did two songs together.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's so just, you felt like you met the right people at the right time.
Right. It's like things happen for a reason.
Yes.
And, you don't see it when you're going through those bad things.
There you go.
And that kickstarted me right there. I'm going to get to it in a second. But that kickstarted was like, all right, this was October last year. And it was just like, wow. Okay, so I'm going to start, you know, maybe try and book some more gigs. You know what I mean? It gave me a little bit of confidence. I was like, you know, let's do something. You know what I mean? It was fun. It was such a thrill. People got into it. I mean, it's 160
people. 160
people. It's the biggest thing I ever played. You know what I mean? You know, breweries, bars, stuff like that, you know.
All connected people looked to you, and they were there for the music, for the fun, for
everything. For the event, for the people. I mean, it was just nice. And then I was in a really, unfortunately... was in a really dark spot around New Year's. So what, about 6 months ago even. Okay, so it's not like life, you know, I've been through some things, this and that, and I'm good now. Life never stops. And just like I said, I was in a dark spot in my head, and I'm just glad to be here. Let's just say that. And my friend, like I said, was not able to. That's why it really resonated with me, because I have been there quite a few times. And, you know, and I'm still here. And I went through that, and I was able to reach out to people, and instead of hiding it and deciding to not be here anymore, I was able to reach out and have people to talk to. And my therapist, I just got started with, ironically. Holidays were never good for me. All my both serious relationships end around the holidays. It's just been very, you know, it's just not a good time for me, you know what I mean? Yeah. And just, you know, finances, everything like that. All I was focused on was the bad. Not like how we're talking about the good, all these good things that are going and all. All my mind is like, you know, focusing on the bad. And I feel like we all tend to do that sometimes. And I more so than others, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everybody's shocked that, like, I seem like this positive person, this and that, and all, I'm all upbeat.
Because that's what you project,
right,
too.
Exactly.
I'll be honest with you. If you didn't tell me this, the image that you project to people when they see you, they see you as a happy person, you see you singing, they see you outgoing, you have a lot of energy, people actually can connect with you without even knowing you. And I'm talking about myself.
Exactly.
I've known you for a long time.
Exactly.
And probably this is the longest we've ever talked.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. But and you get to appreciate the person without even knowing them a lot.
Right.
And I'll be honest with you, it's very hard for people to actually really imagine that you can go through those days because you're very outgoing.
Right, yeah. Exactly. No, and that's, I feel like, you know, trying to keep my, you know, keep my head up and keep doing what I do because, you know, hopefully it'll help inspire other people just like how people have inspired me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I just want it to be a chain effect. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I want to be part of the thing that's going to help make things better in the world, not going to be something that's going to be just being stagnant and stale or negative, you know what I mean?
Right.
And I, you know, again, there's a lot of negative things, and you know, people have had it worse, people have it better. That's the way it always is, but doesn't disregard what you go through and how you handle it. And even if you don't want to handle it all the way, just learn from your mistakes. I made a lot of mistakes and I learned, you know, and I'm like my own worst enemy. I judge myself with music. Like I say, that didn't sound that good. And people are like, what are you talking about? I think about like literally a millisecond of a note. Even if I reel it back in, I focus on that stuff. And I know trying to get better with, you know, not focus on that as much. It's okay to mess up. And I've gotten better with that recently, and I'll tell you why. So, you know, I kind of picked myself back up, and within about, God, a month and a half after I went through, I got another phone call, text, whatever it was, from my buddy Tim Harley from the radio station.
Oh, okay. I thought you were, okay.
And, and this is crazy. So, and what, you know, me, I've known him the longest, you know what I mean? But I've become friends with all of them at the radio station, and they're all good people. And, I think somebody else suggested it. I don't know what it was. Not that he wanted to suggest it, whatever, but it's just the fact that the people, they liked me and they wanted to suggest another event. And it wasn't just sponsored. It was their specific event. 103.7 WXCY asked me to open up, for their event at the Elkton Music Hall. For country music stars, Hunter Girl and Runaway June.
That's awesome.
And that was just mind-blowing to me. And I'm going to be honest, I knew who Runaway June was. I heard of Hunter Girl. I knew she was on American Idol. My buddy liked her and all. And I only briefly heard some stuff here and there. So I listened to a song of hers, a couple songs of hers that, you know, say I've listened to some songs, right?
Uh-huh.
And I resonated with the song Ain't About You, I believe it's called. Hopefully I'm not going to mess it up. But Ain't About You. And that song, oh my God, brought me to tears when I heard it. I listened to it on repeat till I fell asleep. I haven't done that in years to a song. I listened on repeat. It was 5 days before I was to open up for them.
Mm.
And that song tore me up. Like, it was just like everything I've been going through. You think about it, you know, it was only a month and a half that I'd been through what I've been through.
Yeah.
And my mind. And this song, just like every lyric to it, just brought me to my knees.
Yeah.
And that's when you know something's good, and that's, you know, what I'm trying to do with my music and all, and doing, you know, and hopefully recording sometime soon some stuff to get that out there, like, you know, these people have done. And
we can try to do it here, man.
Yeah.
I do have, like, some, we can try.
Absolutely.
Like, if you want to try anything, please, this is your home.
Dude, I'm all about it, and I appreciate it. And so I was, life's crazy. I was dealing with a credit card fraudulent activity up to 5 hours before my performance. I thought my identity was getting stolen, all kinds of shit. I was like, fuck me, I'm done. Like, I just saw The Beekeeper with Jason Statham. That's the movie is literally about identity theft and all this shit. He's effing him up, and I'm like, oh my God, it's happening to me. You gotta be kidding me. Like, why?
That's
like
a sign.
Did I jinx myself by watching this movie? Like, what the fuck? Like, you gotta be kidding. I'm like, I can't catch
what
a break.
What are the odds of watching that movie right before you get a call or a text from your bank?
Yeah.
Oh, there might be some fraudulent.
Your credit card's getting shipped out to Ohio. What the fuck? I don't live in Ohio. I don't even have a house in Ohio.
Like, I've never been in Ohio.
I don't even have any family in Ohio. Like, it was crazy. So I'm like, if there's something that can happen, leave it up to me. I'll feel like, all right, well, example I'll give you, okay? It's like one in like 332 million chance that you'll get shit on by a bee. That's happened to me three fucking times in my life.
Oh my.
I looked it up. Goodness. I looked up. I'm like, maybe this is it. Nope.
Literally, it's a fucking this great big world, and a little small bee find the time and the exact moment to shit on me. If it can happen, it'll happen to me. It's I found that out. I'm like three times, not just once, but three times. And I got fucking video and picture proof of it because I couldn't believe it.
And that was 5 hours before you go to
No, the bee thing wasn't.
Oh, yeah, I just was comparison.
I was just giving you a comparison. Like, if something's going to happen, leave it up to me to let it happen. So the credit card fraud activity went up to 5 hours for my kid.
I just had one Corona premiere. Okay. All right. That's fun. Okay. And, great.
And so I dealt with it. I reeled it in, figured it out, made my phone calls, dealt with it. And I didn't feel like I had any time to practice. And I was only doing 30, 40 minutes, whatever it was, to open up for these two big country singers. I'm like, and as I get there, I'm like overwhelmed. I'm like, all right, I'm nervous. I don't know how to be myself right now. Like, what I'm supposed to do? What I'm supposed to look like? You know, I wore some cowboy boots and a cowboy hat. I'm like, I don't know. I'm just trying to fit in. You know what I mean? I'm like, I don't know what I'm supposed to dress like, talk like, even.
Right.
Like, I know I have like a little bit of a country accent, but I ain't like from down south. There ain't nothing like that. I'm not that strong.
It's like Merlin.
Yeah. It's and even people in Bel Air, like in Baltimore area, say like they think I have an accent because I'm like North Hartford. I live in the country. It's just how it is, but it's not that strong, right?
Well, it's not that strong. No,
but you know, a little noticeable. But it's not like it's just plain, right? Whatever you want to say. And I went up on the stage. So, well, let me backtrack. 15 minutes before I go up on stage,
okay.
On top of all this pressure, they're like, "We're gonna live stream you."
All right. Okay. How many people will be watching?
Yeah, I'm like that's fantastic, but at the same time I'm like, oh my god, I'm so fucking nervous.
I
was dealing with all this shit. I didn't get to practice. There's these big country stars. The bar is so high. I'm like, oh god. And I didn't tell you this. This was the biggest show to this date that I did. So it was even more than the Wellwood. I opened up for 300 people. Mm-hmm. Over 300 people were there. So I'm dealing with this nervousness of like, you know, all the stuff going on in my personal life on top of, you know, I have to open up these country stars and then they're going to live stream me. And over 300 people were there. I mean,
300.
That's insane. And people would like kill for an opportunity like this. And here I am.
That's great.
I felt so blessed and that's I amazing. Did it. And
so the first one was 160.
160. Then, as far as big events.
300.
Yep. Over 300.
And live stream.
So, and that doesn't even, you know, all the people, it's still on their website. So people can go back to the radio station and see.
And when was that again?
That was February.
So you're growing, dude.
Yeah. It's
all right.
And again, it wasn't like it just, I want to say it fell in my lap, but the opportunity presented itself. I didn't ask for this. I've known them for years. I've never asked to perform.
Yeah,
I just didn't have that. Feel like the confidence that's what brings back to the confidence thing. What motivates me and all that. Let's see, I bring it back around.
Right,
that right there gave me my kick, and it was like, you know, I have a chance. I have a shot at this, and just like anything, I tried joining the military when I was younger, and I have asthma, and I lied about it, and I wanted to get in, and they turned me away because my pulse was too high or something like that. Passed all the tests, got a 52 in my ASVAB. So nervous, didn't get to join. I was crushed. Got in the medical field. And started doing what I was doing because I love helping people. That being said, you know, I've known these people for years, and I never once like wanted to take advantage of that friendship. You know what I mean? So to have not just once, but this second opportunity, and this even bigger, we're talking about opening up for huge country stars, blew my mind. I felt so blessed. Like I didn't feel like I deserved it. You know what I mean? And it just felt because I'm, you know, hard on myself, and I just felt like, wow, I'm getting this opportunity, and it was just mind-blowing. And I did, and I went up to that stage and I sang the first song, and it's like everything went away. That's just like it was almost like a dream coming true. Like the lights were on me, I was up on this legit stage, and there's all these people watching and focused. It wasn't like they're drunk at a bar, not like they're all focused on me right now, like no pressure, right? They're all focused on me. And I went up and I just play my soul out. I did what I did. And I had one of the guys in the front, "You're really setting the bar high for these girls." And that blew my mind. I'm like, because I didn't have any confidence in myself. So for somebody to be saying that, and people were asking, like, "Are you an American Idol? Are you this and that and all?" And like, I just was overwhelmed with the positive things that were coming from this. I got off that stage, and I'm not going to detail, there's all kinds of like good comments people were making. And people were coming up to me left and right. I barely got to spend time with the people invited because everybody's coming up to me as if I was like some little like a someone. I'm like, I'm no one.
I mean, you're talented. Again, I'll say it. You're talented. Like, people want to talk to talented people. I cannot sing. I cannot play any instrument. I was offered ukulele.
Right.
I'm starting actually slowly. It's just like my left hand seemed to hate my right hand.
Right.
I just can't do it. It's hard for me. So it's hard when I don't perform well on certain things.
Right, right.
I just give it up.
Right.
I'm not that like super hyper focused on something.
Right.
So when I meet someone that's got some talent, I'm interested to know them. I want to know them better. I want to know them more. I want to know what their story and how they did it.
Absolutely.
Because to me, it blows my mind. My mind cannot do it.
Right.
My body cannot do it. So how can that person do it? So that's why people were like, they lean towards talented people and to just learn more about them.
And it was overwhelming. But the thing is, like, you know, I know my personality and I do like attention. I'm an outgoing person. It's not a bad thing. I like to make people laugh. I like to make things fun. You know what I mean? So that's my attention is like that. You know, not like a douchey way. It's like, I like it and I humble myself. And I feel like that me trying to find that balance of like not, you know, having the confidence, but also not like, you know, being cocky. You know what I mean?
Right.
And accepting that, you know, hey, I'm good at something. Like, I'm good at this. I should be able to accept that and like embrace it.
Right.
Versus like, you know, because I feel that's what I was missing was that confidence. Because I was always afraid of being cocky or something. I didn't want that to be thought of about me. You know what I mean? And just, I never thought of it that way until that night. And people were taking pictures of me. People were following my social media. They're like, when are you playing next? I had a buddy, this DJ came up to me and asked my friend next to me, is that your manager?
Oh, that's awesome. If people want to find you on social media.
Yes. So my Instagram, everything's public, so you can follow it. My Instagram is the main thing. It's SamIM1994. There'll be like a blue check mark, picture of me actually at the event.
Okay.
Cowboy hat and all on the lights. But it's SamIM1994. It's public. And the reason why I say Instagram's the best one is because I post on the stories there. People view those more. The little stories when I'm playing and where I'm playing out.
Okay.
Now, if it's a bigger event, I'll make it a post, right?
All right.
But these two events I didn't make posts about because I didn't know this was going to be a thing for me. Okay. I just had it as a hobby. Uh-huh. And I know I want to do it as a dream, but the confidence wasn't there. This event gave me my confidence back. This was like, it was a game changer for me, like everything. So yeah, SamIM1994 is my Instagram. I do have a TikTok and YouTube, and they are going to be the same. It's going to be almost the same.
So you're on Instagram, SamIM1994?
Correct.
Okay.
And then the TikTok and YouTube is SamIMMusic1994.
Okay.
That's the only difference in the username.
I don't have a TikTok.
Oh.
I do have an Instagram.
Sweet. I will give you a follow back. And appreciate the support. And Instagram's just more accessible, I feel like, as far as, you know, posting stuff. It's easier people to view. You know what I mean? And I kind of keep it simple. I don't have Facebook or Twitter or nothing like that. I just like stuff, straightforward stuff. Like, I'm here for my music. And speaking of, I do have a Spotify coming soon. It hasn't happened yet because, as you talked about, recording, I need to figure out that. And I want to do a couple cover songs first so people, you know, they know these songs. Something that's not too well known that everybody's covered it, but something that people know and enjoy, but it hasn't been done 1,000 times. I want to get a couple of those out there, and then I'm going to start putting out original music. That's the game plan.
Okay.
So, and I actually had a guy from Nashville. His dad was a big country singer back in the day. He sang King of the Road.
Okay.
You know that song, old song? Like, trailer for 50 cents, something like that. I don't know. It's old.
No, I haven't. You know, my culture actually goes back to 2014.
Right.
I did not know much about the American culture, but I do know some country, old country songs.
Yeah.
Like, my favorite of all time is George Strait.
Oh, God, the King Country. Classic.
All my exes live in Texas. I will not move on from that.
Yep. No, absolutely. And it's classic. I mean, and just a name like that. Like, his son reached out to me. His name is D. Miller.
Yeah.
And just the I mean, just that exposure to have somebody like that reach out. Now, granted, I didn't have the funds currently to do a song with him, but he wants to record me, like do music with me.
Okay.
And that just like, it was like one thing after another just inspired me, like, wow, this is possible. This is, you know, stop beating yourself up. Have a little more confidence. Well, you just
have to put some work. Like, if you're persistent.
Yeah, exactly.
If you're persistent into anything, like, if you put a lot of energy on into anything you do and you actually just go for it and just, like, believe in it.
Absolutely.
Like, for me, for example, I'm sure that there are some people laughing about this podcast, but I do love it. And you know how much I care about those people?
Oh, yeah.
Because people will always talk.
Exactly.
And I don't do that for to them. They don't have to listen to me.
Right, right.
You know?
Exactly.
But I do it for me. I want to listen to myself.
That's also important.
To some new people. And if I actually just get better at it, I'm not getting better at it for anybody else but myself.
Exactly. I mean, this is something you want to pursue and do.
Absolutely. And it same applies for when you're playing music. Same thing. You when you sing for yourself, and you sing mostly for people to actually buy into that,
right?
And like really feel what you feel on
relate
that stage.
To it. That's important.
Exactly.
And I think, by the way, exactly how you do it. But you, I think this is great. I think you do a great job. You're a great
I appreciate it.
Seriously, if I didn't know you, like no, you said that you've been doing it for this amount of time, whatever. Like, I would have thought this is just another podcast because it sounds like professional the way you do this.
Oh, I appreciate it.
So,
I appreciate it.
Absolutely. No,
again, it's just what you really believe in. I don't care about what other people, because again, like. People have doubted many things that I've said and many things that I've done, but I went through those stages when I really cared about what they were saying and what they're
right.
But I'm not doing this for them.
Exactly.
I'm doing this for me.
Exactly.
Myself. This is my hobby. I love doing this.
And that shows.
I love stopping and just focusing on this moment.
Yep.
I'm not checking. I was checking on my Instagram to actually find you, and
I'm
following you right now. And I'm so happy to have you on my on Instagram.
Like, I love the service picture, load. It hasn't loaded.
I'm sorry.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah, there you go.
I had to request you. You're private, incognito mode.
Oh, I'm super private, sir.
With the president over here.
No,
lockdown mode.
But I'm so again. It's just believing what you do, and
right.
You, like, keep doing it. You don't have to do it right. You do it wrong until you figure it
exactly.
out.
Exactly. It'll come. I mean, like, you know. Thomas Edison invented the light bulb, man.
Absolutely.
I mean, the same concept. I mean, the thing is, like, I don't keep saying that word confidence, but that really is what I need it to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, people notice. I mean, I could sound good, but if my heart's not in the song or I'm not into it, it's going to show. And now, since that event, giving that confidence, I've had people taking pictures of me, following me, this and that. I mean, just that whole overwhelming experience. Oh, by the way, I got to say this. I did not say this about that event before we move on. but remember I told you I was listening to that song by Hunter Girl?
Okay,
so a couple things happened that night too, on top of just experiencing me being overwhelmed, right? Before Hunter Girl left, she played an on, she had to leave, she didn't get the, she was the in-between act, and before she left, I ran outside and called her. I was like, hey, I said, you know, I listened to that song. I just listened to the first time this week, Ain't About You, and I said, that song really means a lot to me. It resonated for me. And you know, I listened on repeat. I said, I cried my eyes out. I told her this. I said, you know, been going through a lot of stuff. And I said, it really helped me. And I really appreciate that. And I just wanted to tell you that. And so you're amazing. And she dropped her stuff. And she said, oh, thank you so much. She's like, you sounded amazing too. You know, I'm like, to get a compliment from this woman.
Yeah.
This country star.
And it's her job.
That I opened up for.
Yeah.
I just blew my mind. And to be able, how many people, how about yourself, a song you relate to, you would die to tell that artist and meet that artist what that song means to you. Something that means that much to you. How many of us wish we could do that? I got that opportunity, that blessing, for whatever reason, that I was able to do that with a song that means that much to me that I just found out too.
Yeah.
I mean, what are the odds of that? I could just listen to music. That sounds pretty good. And
Yeah.
A song to bring me that and to be able to have the opportunity to tell her that, mind blowing. And for her to just drop herself and give me a hug. I mean, just absolutely was overwhelming.
And you got to meet the person actually and tell them, hey,
right,
thank you.
That was such an opportunity. I mean, just.
Your music resonated with me and in my situation. And just, it really brought me to tears. And
just mind blowing.
That's fantastic.
Absolutely mind blowing. And then after that, Runaway June, their guitar got lost in baggage. And the lead singer. And I had met the one girl prior to them going on stage and all, and she was real nice. We were talking and stuff, you know, follow each other's Instagram and all. She was really cool. They were cool people. And they I said, well, you guys can borrow, you know, told them they can borrow my stuff. You know what I mean? If you want to do my guitar, you can borrow my guitar.
Yeah.
So the lead singer, she played my guitar for their set, and they did a shout out to me on that stage and said about, you know, thanks for Sam, you know, for lending this guitar. It's a longer story than that, but, you know, thanks, you know, for, you know, lending this guitar. We lost our guitar, and he's the guy, blah, blah. Thanks, Sam. He was amazing. He sounded amazing. Just going off. I'm just like, dude, I don't even know how to take this right now. Like, this is too much. I was on cloud nine. Like, my head felt so big, but in a good way. You know what I mean? I wasn't letting it get big. I was just, I had chills. It was grateful. Just, oh my God, so grateful. It was just, I keep saying mind-blowing. I just couldn't process that this was happening. It is mind-blowing. It was like, how do I deal with this? Like, this is crazy. These, unreal, just unreal. It's just a real experience that I will never forget. You know what I mean? Like, it's something that I will never forget. I will always remember. They gave me that confidence back and that great interaction with all those people and those artists and all.
Just go out there and kick ass.
It's just something, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I loved it. I mean, it was just phenomenal. So yeah. And they actually signed my guitar. I gave him a shot. They signed the guitar. That was phenomenal. Though, you sure you don't want me to mess your guitar up? I said, no, you'd be making it better. Trust me. I was like, oh my God, you guys are amazing. So that was a cool experience, though. I'll never forget that.
I do have a question that's kind of personal.
Sure.
Well, it's not really personal. What is the family? Your family?
Yeah.
Your close family, your parents, you have siblings?
Yes, I do. Yep.
So your family, your parents, your siblings. What role did they play in your journey so far?
So I would say, because I had to, I've kind of accepted this, come to terms and all, but I had to move back home and all when I was younger. I moved out for a little while and, you know, trying to figure things out and just kind of, life, you know, like I said, I've been through some things. Sometimes you got to do what you got to do, but at least I had that to come back on. Even if I, you know, we butt heads stuff sometimes, at least I have a roof over my head and people to still be there for me. And they, you know, have been supportive, especially they're not young. They're not old, but they're not young like that. You know what I mean? They're not somebody that's going to just go out to all these things. And they would be out till at open mic nights when I first started till, like, you know, 10, 11, 12 o'clock sometimes, mostly around 11. They're like, all right, let's get out of here. Like, gigs I would do, they would take me and all. And, yeah, the time I didn't have a vehicle or something. I don't know. It was just like a whole lot of just different things I was going through and all. And we made it happen. So they were supporting me with the music and helped, you know, driving my gigs, this and that and all. And open mic nights and just be there to film me and whatnot. So, you know, my mom and dad, yeah, I said, as much as I can butt heads with them sometimes, you know, deep down, I love them. They love me, and they have always supported me with music and all.
And they're freaking amazing.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. No, good people. And like I said, I'm real, so I'm not gonna pretend like, you know, yeah, we're this dream family. No, we fucking fight all the time. I mean, like, it was probably me and my dad haven't like killed each other.
Well, yeah, we don't.
You know, we have two similar personalities in the same house, and you get older. Yeah. Like, I am 30 this year. I'm not a teenager. I'm set in my ways.
Yeah,
you know, it happens, and he is too. And it's whatever. We've learned to, like, I would say, cope. You know, like I do. You know, it's just how it is. But we still, you know, there for each other and support each other. And okay. I feel like people that try to present like they're like this perfect, you know, nobody's fucking perfect. There ain't nothing.
Nobody.
And then, yeah, moving out when eventually I do that and will do that will help. I feel like make relationships a little better as far as that intensity of it. But the fact that you can learn to, you know, cope with things and get along to a degree is important and shows, you know, growth. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know,
they're always there for you. But if you have to have dinner with any three people, living or dead, who would they be and why?
Well, let me think about that.
I know.
Do I have to know them?
I sent you those questions, so you should actually know
them. But it could be any three people, right?
Three people, living or dead.
Living or dead. I don't have to know them, or do I have to know them?
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
Three people, not just in your life, but in
general. Let me backtrack one thing, though.
Yes, sir.
But I didn't mean to leave anybody out, though, but like as far as media family being supportive and all, you know, my little brother, I give him credit. He doesn't like country music at all.
What doesn't he like about country music?
I don't know,
like,
man.
If he has to sit down right here, right now and say, I don't like this about it, what would he say?
I don't know. I pray for him.
I am serious, dude. There are two kind of music that I actually absolutely like that a lot of people don't appreciate enough.
Yep.
Blues
in country?
Absolutely. I don't know. I don't. It's just not a thing. No, we do relate because I like a lot of different music. We do relate on some 50 stuff and all, and some other stuff. Uh-huh. He's showing me some different bands he likes and all. But I will say though, you know, he has come out to support. I do all the kinds of music too. He knows that, and he's come out. He actually drove me to, like, an hour away. My car was broke down again. He drove me to a gig of mine.
Can you pray for me, please?
Exactly. And
how old is he?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
How old is he?
Oh, he's 20. He's turning 21 this year. Oh. He just got back from Europe. He was traveling.
Nice.
All over.
Yeah. You told me that.
Yep. Yep. So he's supported in his own way. You know what I mean? And my sister, always likes to talk about the music and all, and like, I'm so proud of how you're doing this and blah blah blah. And me and her, we haven't had the close relationship. We have, to be real, we have different lives and all. Like, she's been with her husband since they've been together since they were 15.
Yeah,
they got five kids. I mean, and she's a year and a half younger than me.
Aww.
So she's doing her thing. So it's we're just different lives, different people. So it's a little different, obviously, with five kids to be supporting something like that.
Yeah,
with what I'm doing. What I mean? But so it's just everybody does it in their own way. I got a buddy, listen, Joe. He fully supports me. I have quite a few friends that support me in music.
So you're well surrounded too. Like, you have people in your circle that really supports you and really believe in you.
And even if I don't see these people all the time or talk to them all the time, I don't want to just go out and shout out all these names and then all of that. You miss me. I don't want to go. There's a lot of people.
Right.
And people that come in your lives and people that, there's a lot of good people, And it's when you're in your own head and you think man, I don't know who to hang out with, this and that, and blah, blah. And it's a little frustrating, but there are people, they really do care and they support that. And all.
Yeah.
So just to kind of finish up that, there is a lot of support with friends and family with that. Even my grandma came out to that event, by the way.
Oh, really?
I was really happy because she's getting older, and I love my grandma. She's, we talked about inspirations earlier and music and all, but she's one of the people that inspires me though.
What's her name?
So everybody calls her Sissy.
Sissy.
Yep.
Hello, Sissy.
Yep, absolutely. Love you, Grandma. And she's a great lady. Been through a lot herself in life, and she is just amazing. I think my sister was actually named after her. My sister is Elizabeth, and that's her name is Elizabeth. Silly. So it's just kind of
everybody loves Sissy.
Yeah, absolutely. Everybody loves Sissy.
Of course.
Yeah, I think you went. So she was at the cookout, actually.
I'm sure.
Yeah, she was.
I'm sure. I'm just not really good with names.
Yeah, no. I'm sorry. But no, you're good. She was there. They were inside mostly. But she, great person. I mean, seriously,
she was sitting. She was not sitting at the table. She was sitting in the sofa all the way in the back.
Yes, she was.
Okay, well, she's like the one. I did not talk to her.
I don't think there's anybody as old as her there.
Okay.
That was her.
I did see her. I did not talk to her. And I talked to your parents at the very, very end of the party. I did not really know because Christina didn't know either. And I'm hey, who are his parents?
Oh. Yeah, I was all over the place that day. Can we just
say thank you to them too?
Absolutely.
And I was able actually to chat with them at the end and just thank them for inviting us.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, that was her. Yep.
Amazing. Let's go, CC. We're all Team CC.
I'm actually writing a song for her, actually.
Please. I want to hear it next time. Yep. Next time when you're here, bring your guitar.
Absolutely.
And I want to hear her song.
Because I want to make that one of my first, between that and my friend's song in the past, I want to make those up there because it's they mean a lot. And that's my priority. I want her to be able to hear this.
And we can bring her here.
Yeah, absolutely.
We can chat with her too. I have a third mic here.
Exactly.
We can get up to four people.
Absolutely. I don't know if we'll get her out, but it's just a miracle that she even came out to some of those music things for me. That says a lot. Because she doesn't get out anymore.
Just bring her.
Yeah, she's.
Don't think about it. Just bring her.
Absolutely, absolutely, okay. Absolutely.
But there are only little things, and again, we are at the best time of our lives.
Oh, absolutely.
In the humanity, that we're able to record something, and we have microphones and all that.
Oh my God, yeah.
So let's actually keep something that will keep it memorable for all of us.
Absolutely.
Let's bring Sissy, man.
No, absolutely. And I and just so. To go back to the three people, you said dinner, I think, or something like that, right?
Dinner, drinks. Yeah. If you have to have them, if you have to have dinner with three people,
in the whole world, dead or alive, let me think. Yeah,
dead or alive.
That's a good question. Who would they be
and why?
Man, I mean, that's a hard question. Lot of people. It is.
There's so many people. Obama. I'm just kidding.
This guy's a comedian too. Whoops. But there's so many people. I mean, obviously, I told you about one of my idols. I mean, I have so many people that I freaking I think are cool. Artists that I listen to and watch. I mean, because obviously for me, that's going to be probably people that I would more so want to have something like that, an event, you know what I mean, like resonate with them more. We share the similar things. We're music artists, you know what I mean,
right?
And you know, so like three people, I mean, I probably have to, all right, I will tell you this, I've had a lot of crushes.
Okay.
Dua Lipa. Oh my god. If any of her happens and she hears this,
Dua Lipa, if you hear this,
oh my god, I'm sure you.
Like there's 99.9%, we'll give it like 1.01%,
you never know,
chance.
Oh my god,
I hear it.
Dua
Lipa, if you hear this,
I freaking adore you.
There you go.
We're gonna get married one day, you just don't know yet. Sam I am Dua Lipa.
TMZ report, paparazzi's everywhere.
Hell yeah. Country and pop collide. It's a good combo.
She's hot.
Oh my god, spectacular. She's one of the most beautiful women I've ever seen.
Yeah,
and her voice. I always say that Levitating song is like the sexiest song of the century. Like,
right,
not even like, not just saying the best song, I'm just saying it is the sexiest song I've ever heard. It's insane the way she dances, sings. She is gifted. I love her. She's awesome. But so yeah, probably dinner with her, that'd be fantastic. Mm-hmm. I mean, Kenny Chesney and Cody Johnson, man. Okay. I mean, that'd be a lot of fun. They're cool dudes. I mean, like I said, I got to meet Cody. You know what I mean? They're some cool dudes. I mean, I feel like for me, it's besides obviously crushes, right? I'd want it to be with somebody that, you know, I could relate with or get advice from. You know what I mean? Mm. I mean, there's so many, even aside from music, like historical figures, like, you know, it'd be interesting. What would it be like to, like, you know, have dinner with Lincoln at the theater or something. Oh, you know what God. I mean? This could just be that endless.
Would
be
amazing.
Because I used to be a little bit of a history buff. I feel like I've kind of gotten rusty, but there's so many different significant people in history that's like, you know, that I would love to just pick their brain.
Talk to them. Like, what was happening in their minds?
Right.
Right. Right. Lincoln is one of them. Yeah.
I mean, that's just, I mean, there's so many names that are popping out of my head right now. I can't even think of one. That's how many are popping out. Mm. I mean, and not just in our country, like other countries. I mean,
yeah.
Other people of prominence. You know what I mean?
That's true.
So, I mean, and then I always like spend time with my grandma. So she's going to be one of them too. You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, I feel like it could be endless, but there's some people, you know, I feel like, you know, whether it be people I know, like, you know, my grandma or my friend that passed, I'd love to be able to just have another beer with them, man.
A last conversation.
Yeah. You know what I mean? And, yeah, you know, that would be nice. Just like that, or like people, like, again, that inspire me, like Kay Johnson, Kenny, you know,
yeah,
those are the kind of people, like, or Thomas Redd. I love Thomas Redd.
Yeah. There's so many names you can drop now, but only if you have to pick three, give me three names. Lua Lipa.
Yeah,
but Lua Lipa has to be like something very romantic.
Dua Lipa.
Like that, I don't think that you should have her.
Yeah, it's a little different category. Yeah,
it has to be a one-on-one.
Elvis Presley. Elvis Presley, the king. Okay. Yeah, let's do him. Elvis Presley, that'd be cool.
And you definitely don't want to have Dua Lipa with Elvis Presley on the same table.
He would lose.
You would lose, man. That was so hot.
Oh, I know. It's wild.
Yeah.
So probably Elvis Presley. Kenny Chesney. I haven't met him yet.
Right.
I met Cody, and I love Cody. But I think it's just because I grew up with Kenny. He came out in the year I was born. I don't even know him. I know his music. I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, we have a similar, like, lifestyle sometimes, you know, or lifestyle that I wish I could have. He's always on the boats, the yachts, the beach, in the country, whatever he's doing it. You know, I love getting out there. You know, I love Corona. My older cousin, he got me hooked on Corona, Corona Extra, and I never drink it with the lime. He never drank it with the lime. I never had an older brother. I was the oldest. You know what I mean? I got my little sister, you know, Liz, we call her, and my little brother, Steven, and I was the oldest, and my older cousin Dave, I always looked up to him, and you know, just kind of related. So, like, you know, I always drink Corona, you know, Kenny Chesney always drank Corona and all that. So, like,
I'm a happy Bud Light drinker. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah,
I only got the Corona Premier because last time we were in your backyard, there was a Corona.
Yep,
and I got a Stella because I wanted to look a little bougie. But that's I'm a Bud Light drinker.
I like all kinds. I'm pretty easy to please.
Miller Lite, Bud Light, domestic American, all American beers.
Yep,
beautiful. It keeps you hydrated.
Oh yeah, they're absolutely.
100%. They're perfect.
Oh my god,
it's Michelob Ultra.
We call them Mickey's.
Mickey.
Oh my god, it's so simple. I mean, but I love it. I'm like
the Bush family. God bless the Bush.
Oh my god, absolutely, absolutely,
dude. For SeaWorld and Budweiser.
Dude, absolutely. I freaking love all kinds. I love Belgian. You know what's crazy? I can never find a brewery that has Belgian beer. Belgian beer is so good. I mean, I think actually Stella.
Stella is Belgian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stella is Belgian. That's why I was like, yeah. Oh my God. Because
Stella is Belgian.
They don't ever make Belgian beers anymore. I'm like, well, dude, it's so good. And if they do, it's like a 10% and it's like too thick or something. It's like.
The one thing I will say, whenever I actually travel to Europe and I have to drink their beer is fantastic. Oh but man, God. Let me tell you, it is not light. No. Like you drink it, you gain 2 pounds right on the spot.
Oh yeah,
right there.
Especially if you go to like Germany or Ireland.
Oh yeah, Germany. God. Oh, like in Croatia, where my wife is.
Right? Oh yeah.
So they don't have this size. They're all like half liter. Like we're talking like and everything Damn. Is half liter, and they're very thick.
Right.
They're very delicious. I love beer.
That's awesome.
They're very delicious. And look at us now. Like we actually like, we're no longer talking about like this is American.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
No, absolutely.
And it's super delicious.
But oh my man, God, like, I'd love to experience that. Just
I would love to have you.
So like, amazing. That stuff is so good.
You would love that country.
I was
Croatia is one of the most beautiful countries I've ever visited.
Oh my God, there's so many on my list. I have so many. I would love to. I mean, seriously, like any of that. I don't like you said about beers being good. I love all that authentic stuff. I'm like a little. Yeah. I want to say people call me connoisseur or stuff like that. I love knowing about what I'm drinking. I love. Oh, yeah, I love the quality of it. I just don't want to like, you know, get trashed. I want to enjoy something. I like it. Not just to drink it.
The drink
I enjoy
that
it.
I gave you earlier. That every single house, whenever you walk inside
right.
a house and you're a guest, the host will always ask you if you want a drink. That's the drink you're gonna have. Everyone drink. They call it gemischt.
That's
it's
awesome.
Literally a white blend, half yep. like they go half and half. Half white blend, like half the cup, white blend, and then half mineral water, bubbly. Yep. And it's cold and it's really refreshing.
Oh, so, it was fantastic. I had it for the first time today and I liked it. Like I said, I'm broad with stuff, man. I enjoy it.
How do you like your beer? Cold?
Cold.
Funny story I have for you. We were in Hungary, in Budapest. Christina and I sitting down at a restaurant. And this waitress came and I asked for a beer. She brought me the beer and she was like, my apologies. I'm serious, dude. I apologize for this. We ran out of the beer at the counter. So I had to go to the basement. So this one is a little cold.
I know that. I've heard of that. That's wild. I've heard that they and don't like, drink it.
Hey,
like
I want cold. Iced cold.
Yeah. I want it too cold to drink. You know, but they don't do that ever like that. It's not.
And the main thing that came to my mind is Team America.
Yep.
America.
Yes.
Fuck you.
America.
Dude, get it. You should be singing.
America.
Got my backup singer
America.
Right here.
Fuck yeah. Hell yeah.
Gotta love it.
Loved it. I just rewatched it last time. That's one of the best movies. It's an Oscar winner movie that did not win any Oscar. Why? Because they can't make it right now.
Yep.
No one can make that movie right now.
That's wild. Dude, speaking of the beer not being cold, right?
Mm.
Like, we were talking, my little brother told me this, and then, you know, because he was just over in Europe and all, and you obviously know.
Mm-hmm.
No AC. Oh yeah. My God, I'm gonna be so fucked.
Oh yeah, you're sweating your ass, and
I'd
no one cares.
If I took a little tour of Europe, right, and I would 100% buy an AC unit for wherever I was staying at. If they didn't have one, fuck it, I'm buying one. And if they would not let me take that AC unit to each country, if I couldn't use it as baggage, if I could not physically take that with me, I'd buy another fucking AC unit.
I'll be honest with you.
By the funds, I'd buy it every country I went to.
I understand.
Shit, I'm doing it.
I agree with you.
Then I'd
100%. And I did not even grow up in this country. Christina and I did not grow up with AC. And right now, if you ask both of us,
yep.
once it gets to 90 degrees outside, or even 85 outside.
Yep.
And especially with Maryland weather, it gets really humid.
Oh, oh yeah.
I can only live with AC. I can't really go outside.
100%. I couldn't do it. Dude, I wouldn't even worry about selling the ACs after I got done with that. I needed it that much. I would just donate it. Be here you go. You're welcome. Take the AC. This is free. It's on me.
Like, and that's how you're going to make America great
exactly.
again.
Exactly. I'll make Europe great again. AC units, baby.
All right. Well, Sam, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been an honor.
Absolutely. Thank you
this
for
is
having
your house.
Me.
I would like to have Sissy with us here.
Absolutely. See what I can do.
Please, please, just trick her. Just tell her I'm taking you somewhere. I'm taking her for something and I'll make some ribs.
Dude, absolutely. I mean, this has been a great experience. I said my first time doing this and all. And, you know, glad that I was able to share some of my, you know, story and you know, why music means so much to me. Because, like, I really want to pursue this as my dream. This is my passion. This is what I love. making music, playing music, and just trying to get it out there for people to hear, and having that confidence back and be able to do this. And by the way, I didn't mention this, but after that event, I started taking seriously booking gigs.
Yeah. And yeah, I wanted to ask you,
I must have booked like 15, 20 gigs.
So what do you have coming up?
So let me look at my calendar while I'm talking. So speaking of, that's not a thing, by the way, with music, like, at least as far as locally and all, like when you're just starting out and all like that, usually they book in the fall. They usually book a year prior with the year, like the whole year usually, or at least up to summertime. I started in February and I got 15, 20 gigs for this year, and I'm still booking and still booking. And that says a lot. I feel like that says a lot in its own.
Great.
I mean, I had somebody pay me before I started my gig last Friday. They paid me before I played.
Oh.
That's how much they had confidence in me and liked me. They just, here, you want your check? Take it. I wasn't even setting up yet. I just walked in. So that really, you know, all these things, it just kind of feels like pushed me in the direction like this is meant to be. It's not even just like I want to do this, but it's just like this is what I'm meant to do.
Do you see yourself doing it full time?
100%. I feel like I see, you know, you want to, when you pursue a career, you want to make yourself the best you can be and learn as much as you can, do the best you can. And that is to reach as many people as I can, which means climbing the ladder. And that's what I want to do. And I want to do it for my love of it, and for people in my life, and for, you know, the world. I want to share it. I don't want to like hide my gift. I want to share it. If I want to do the best that I can do and be the best that I can be. Good. And, you know, booking these gigs and stuff like that is, you know, my way to help, you know, keep pursuing this. You
keep
know
growing.
I mean? Absolutely.
Pushing for it.
And the next one I have coming up is South County Brewery, the one at Fallen Groove.
Okay.
I'll be playing there next Saturday, the 15th of June, 6 to 9.
Okay.
And like I said, on my Instagram update, I have so many lined up. I don't want to be sitting here and...
And you have it on Instagram?
Yep, I have it on Instagram. Okay. I'm thinking about putting like a little story saved so we can always go back to it, but I will be posting weekly when I am playing out. So.
All right. So we said next Saturday.
Next Saturday the 15th, South County, Fallen Groove, PA. Right on the line, so not too far. 6 to 9, I'll be there.
Okay.
So.
All right. I hope, like, Christina and I would probably be there.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I appreciate that.
We love watching you singing. I think you're talented. I'm happy you're here. I'm happy you accepted to come and participate in the Cello Talk.
This
is your show. Absolutely. This is your show. This is your home. You're always, without even asking, you can just show up and we will do another session of this.
Yeah, I'm all about it. This was fun. I would be happy to do it again. This is fun. First time. And, dude, thank you so much for having me. This was a blast. I had a great time. So.
All right. You're a great friend of mine now.
Absolutely. You're not going anywhere. Same here.
I appreciate you.
And, appreciate you, buddy.
Next time.
Till then.
Next time.
Yes, sir.
All right. Goodbye, everybody.
All right. Take it easy.